Good morning, church family. I'm sure thankful to have the opportunity to be here with you this morning. And it was awesome for me to get a chance to sing that song with Robert and with Brooke. As you saw in the announcements earlier, we're excited about 5 weeks from now, we get to have our annual event that we're always so excited about and have had here for the past few years called One Night, One Cause. And it's an awesome night to celebrate what God is doing at a place that we love on the other side of the world called Boys and Girls Christian Home. And I thought I would start this morning by just clarifying something for you. Over there at BGCH are people that are family and friends of ours who we love dearly. And it's important to us to do all we can to protect them. And so in the midst of our time this morning, you probably won't hear me speak specifically of where that place is located. And some of you that maybe are brand new here this morning or don't know anything about what we do, that may be confusing to you. And you're like, did this guy forget where his home is? But no, I haven't forgotten where it is. I know where it is. But we're just not going to talk about that specifically this morning. We're going to talk about what God's doing there. We're going to talk about the people that are there. And so I just wanted to clarify that for you this morning. One thing that I wanted to do, too, before I get started, is it was awesome this morning to get to be a part of praying for all these people that are headed out here on Saturday. And so here is a little bookmark. There's some of these laying down front, and then there's some out in the lobbies on the different tables. But what an awesome chance for us to take those and slip it inside your Bible or a book that you're reading or hang it on the mirror or something like that and just pray for them. I think sometimes we take it for granted, like Dusty said, like, oh, yeah, they're just getting on a plane and they're just going to another country for a couple weeks. But it's a lot bigger deal than that, and they would tell you that. The first trip that I ever went on with this church almost 20 years ago was to Africa, and it's what kind of drew me into this whole thing. And so let's pray for them. It's a big deal. It's a big sacrifice for them, financially and physically to do what they're doing. So let's get behind them. So take one of these. I just wanted to share that with you. The second thing I wanted to just mention to you, like I talked a minute ago about the event that comes up here on August the 17th, and there's a brochure, a flyer in your bulletin about that. Please take this with you and consider yourself invited, I guess is what I would say. I don't know if you've ever been to one of our events before, but I think if you have, you would agree with me that it's just a great night. It really is. It was an idea that we had 5 years ago. I guess this is number five, to just have a night where all of us could come together in the community for one night, for one cause, for this cause, for these kids at BGCH. And we didn't know what we were doing, and we still don't totally. We just kind of take it a year at a time. But it's turned into a really awesome event. And there'll be some just great music that night. Each year we keep inviting different folks to come in and be a part of the concert. And the concert is worth coming to, if nothing else, just because the Lord will be lifted up. There'll be great music here in this room. And then we do other things. The purpose of the night is to raise money for the kids. And so obviously that's a big part of what we do. There'll be a love offering taken. We have a silent auction that is all that is used to raise money for the kids. But I'm being completely serious when I say, I want you to come whether you're able to give any money or not. That really has become secondary to just all of us coming together on behalf of these kids and unifying ourselves in our hearts for what we're doing over there. It's really a special night. So come no matter what. There's no ticket needed in advance. You don't have to pay anything at the door to get in. The whole night is free. We just ask for donations if you're able. That's how I would say it. So we would love to have you come. It's kid friendly. You can bring your kids. We just want you to come and hang out with us. It's really special. It's on Friday night. It's the last Friday night before high school football starts. So come and have some Friday night lights with us. And then the next weekend you can go cheer on your football team somewhere. But we would love to have you. I'm thankful to be here this morning. As I told everybody last year when I got this opportunity, I didn't realize how much different it would be to be in front of your home church. Over the last 14 years, my family and I, we've traveled all over the country. I've spoken in churches literally from coast to coast. And you get to the point where you're pretty accustomed to it and you don't get the butterflies and the nerves too bad, except for one day a year, and it's this one. And I don't know what it is. There's something about having to get up in front of your home church. I guess it's because you all know me so well. And so I can't bluff you. I can't get up here and put this mask on to be something that I'm not, because you're going to sit out there and be like, come on, Palmer, I know you. I hang out with you. So it's a little nerve-wracking for me to be up here. And I told Sarah this morning, I got up and was kind of walking around the house, getting stuff ready. She said, "You ready?" And I said, "Man, as many times as I've been through this through the night, we ought to just cancel the service because I think I've already done it like 5 times. And I even had one really bad dream last night that I got here and I had forgotten that it was my Sunday. And I walked in and everybody's like, "You ready, Palmer?" And I'm like, "For what?" And they're like, "Well, you're speaking today." So man, I don't know. It was a tough night for me. But here we are and I'm excited to be here. Those of you that have been here before, I'm just going to share. What I'm going to do is I'm going to just talk to you for a little while about Boys and Girls Christian Home, and I've got a few truths from God's Word that He's been showing me. It's not anything, I'm not a preacher by trade, but I can tell you what God's been showing me in my heart, and I'm going to do the best I can to do that. But here's how we're going to start this morning. Over these years that we've been doing this, we've taken lots and lots of trips with folks from all over the place, a lot from this church, but then a lot from other churches, or sometimes just people that we meet and they find out what we do and they say, "Man, I'd love to go with you." And so that's probably the most frequently asked question I get is, "Tell me about your trips. I'd love to go on a trip sometime." But I understand the reality that not everybody can go on these trips. It's a big expense and it's hard to take time off and go on one of these trips. But I've always wished that I could show you what a trip is like. And so when we went this past year, we went a couple days after Christmas and then stayed through New Year's and into the beginning of January. We took a big group of 16 people with us and we just had an amazing time. But I just did a little video diary, so to speak, of the trip because I wanted to be able to show you, hey, here's what a trip to BGCH looks like. And so this morning, I want you to be able to watch this video and maybe just take a trip with us. You know, a 4.5 minute trip, it won't cost you anything and it only costs you 4.5 minutes, but you'll get a feel of what it would be like to take a trip to Boys and Girls Christian Home. So I hope you enjoy this.
I was blinded, you gave me eyes to see. I was going under, you reached out to me. No, there's nothing you won't do to pick me up and pull me through. Every hour, 8 days a week, yeah. Your love is like a fountain. It'll never run dry, it'll never run dry. Your love is moving mountains. Every day of my life, every day of my life. Can I get a witness?
get a witness? Can I get a witness? Oh, can I get a witness?
So there you go. You've been to India now. That's fun. There's two things. There's lots of things in that video. I've watched it over and over and over again because it's just fun to relive stuff. But there's two things. One is a little bit humorous. I love the part in that video when the little boys are running around the fire. I don't know if you saw that. They love to act things out and to do little skits and stuff. And so on New Year's Eve this past year, we were going to have skits and stuff leading up to the when the new year began. And so the little boys acted out the story from God's word when Elijah and the prophets, you know, the prophets of Baal, and they went out and they called down fire from heaven. So I had no idea what to expect. Well, they were successful, weren't they? They got some fire down. Man, it scared me to death. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, Lord, I'm so thankful that Sarah's not here because Sarah doesn't get quite as close to the edge in life as I do. She's a little more, if she'd have seen those little boys running around that fire that was like 10 feet high, she would have just passed out, I'm sure of it, because she would have been so worried about it. So that was one part of the video that I thought was really cool. And then the other part that just, it touches me every time I see it, and it relates to what we're going to talk about this morning. But I love that part of the video where we're feeding the kids and they're just lined up and there's just barrels of food. And as they're walking by, we're just heaping mounds of food onto their plate. And I love that for several reasons. One, I love that because that's not the norm for those kids. That's not what they are used to and that's not what they grew up in. And so it makes me just incredibly grateful to all of you because we're able to do that and we're able to feed them like that because of people like you who make a choice to say, I'm going to give to BGC8 so that they can help take care of these kids. And it's a beautiful thing if you sit there and you watch them and they just sit down on those plates and they're just reaching in and they're just eating till they're full. And I love that on a physical level, but I love it on a spiritual level because to me it's a perfect picture of God and what God offers to us and what his love offers to us. It's like standing in line and coming to the table with an empty plate And God just said, hey, I have what you need. And he just reaches in there and he just puts it on the plate. And I just love that picture. It's a beautiful picture to me. So I hope you enjoyed watching that this morning. I hope it gives you a little bit more of an up close and personal look at what it's like over there. It's an awesome place. Those of us that have been going for a lot of years, we've always just said there's something about BGCH. It's like one of those little places that we believe is near and dear to the heart of God. And I think what's being done there is as close to what God's heart is, and that is to rescue those kids and to give them hope and to give them a purpose and a future. It's a beautiful thing, and I just want to say thank you because we couldn't do it without you. The next thing that I want to do this morning is, this is also kind of just a cool way to celebrate what God's been doing. Last year, when I spoke here, I told you about the big project, the big building project that was just getting started, and we were calling it the Firm Foundation Project. And I told you about how our campus at BGCH is really old, and our buildings are really old, and they've just, ever since I've been going for the last 14 years, I've just been watching them kind of crumble and fall apart. And it's been one of those things that's a little bit overwhelming because we know that they need addressed, and I'll get pictures, and our general director over there will call me and he'll tell me, you know, this, we had to move the boys out of this building because the ceiling is falling in, and we'll have to, you know, we had to move out of this building because the rain just is coming through the ceiling now. And I always felt the weight of that and the burden of that, but I was always intimidated by it because I knew what it was going to take was a lot of money to fix that. And so about 2 years ago, we just realized we couldn't put it off anymore and we had to address these needs. And so we kind of put in place a three-year plan to try to go building by building on the campus. And every building, we would make a decision about whether that building was worth saving or not, if it was too far gone. And if it was too far gone, we were just going to bulldoze it and be done with it. And if we could do something with it, we would do the repairs needed. And then we also identified just some brand new buildings that needed to be built in order for us to do what we do. And so we launched this campaign called the Firm Foundation Project because we were rebuilding the foundations. And when I was here last year, I told you about we were to the stage in the project where we were getting ready to build the big building that was kind of the centerpiece of the project. And it was our boys, it was going to be our boys' dorm, our kitchen and dining room, our multi-purpose area. It was just our big kind of, you know, centerpiece building of the campus. And I remember standing up here last year telling you about it, but in my heart just being like, man, Lord, are we really going to be able to do this? I mean, it just felt so overwhelming to me. But God has just, over the last year, has just gone above and beyond over and over again to provide. I could just tell you story after story. And when I told them to you, you'd probably think, Palmer, you got to be making that up. Did that really happen? But it really has happened. God has just provided over and over again. And we have made huge progress on this building. And hopefully they're saying that it may be done by the end of this year, by the end of 2018, or maybe early in 2019, we'll get to go over there and dedicate this big building. But I thought you would enjoy seeing it. This was a picture that we took right, you know, there hadn't even been a hole dug yet, but this is the cornerstone of this new building, and we had a big dedication for it, and so that was the day. And I'm just going to scroll through these kind of quick for time's sake, but I thought you would enjoy seeing this because I can tell you about it, but it's more fun to see it. So this is just a part of that dedication that day, the groundbreaking. That's the piece of ground that where the building now is, but there was nothing there previously. And here's kind of the start of construction. We had to tear down a building or two that were kind of in the area and prepare the land. There's the first hole being dug. I like this picture because in the back you can see the water tower. About 5 years ago, a lot of you helped us with a big project to build that water tower and get fresh water piped all over our campus for our kids. And so that's cool. Not intentionally, but that ended up being in that picture. So I wanted to point that out to you. And here we go. Here's the beginning of these holes being dug. The soil there in our area is not good for building. And so we had to dig about 15 feet deep and then put these big concrete footers in and then bring in all of the proper kind of soil. So literally the first 5 or 6 months of this project, everything was happening below the ground, getting it to level ground so that we could start the building. So it's been a quite overwhelming process. Those of you that are builders, I think about how this building was built, and what we have available here in America, and the construction there is just unbelievable, isn't it? I took some guys over there last year, and they had a panic attack. You know, when they got there, they're like, oh my goodness, is this going to work? Yeah, it's going to work. It's just different here. But you can see we hired what we feel was a really good contractor, and he's done a good job for us. I'm just going to scroll through these kind of quickly. You can see we're still underground. We're still in the hole. But it eventually, we eventually get above ground. You'll see it here in a second. There's the big hole. Of course, the big hole is dug and everything, and then rainy season comes, and so then it turns into a lake. So that definitely was an obstacle for a while, but we got through that too, and then it dried out. And then you can see over on the left, now they're starting to haul in all of the soil that's the right kind of soil that we can actually build on top of. And this is when the hole was filled in. And so this was a dedication day where they were dedicating before the building starts going up. I like these next couple pictures. I love that picture right there. That's up from up on top of the school building looking down, and you can just see that's kind of the whole layout of the building. But this building's going to be awesome. It's going to be two stories. It's going to have the capability to house up to 200 kids. It's just really going to be, it's going to be special. Again, all the builders in the room just took their gasp, but they're like, oh my goodness, are they really propping all that up with those bamboo? Yep, that's how it works. I wouldn't walk under there. If you go with me, we're going to look in from the outside. Maybe I would now. There's some concrete back in the story. But I just thought you would enjoy getting to see this. Because you have helped make this happen. Here's an architectural rendering of what the building will look like at the end. I'll be honest with you, when we first saw that picture, I just thought there's no way. We're never going to end up with something that looks like that. But I believe that we will. I really believe we will. We're really close. The total cost of this particular project was about $500,000, which might as well have been $10 million for me. When I heard that number, I'm like, ugh. You know, but we're really close. We've got about $150,000 left on this deal, and we've had to pay cash for it as we go because we can't borrow money over there. So God has just overwhelmingly provided. It's really amazing. So anyway, I thought you would enjoy that and a chance to see that. I'm going to share just a few things here for you from God's Word that have just been encouraging to me, some things that I have learned over the last couple of months, and I wanted to share them, you know, with you today as we wrap up. We just have a few more minutes left here this morning, but it seems like every year when we get ready for our One Night, One Cause event, God just kind of drops a theme in our lap. And Sarah will ask me a couple months out, you know, what are you thinking? What do you think our theme should be this year? And I'll just say, I'm still listening. I don't know. I'm just listening. I'm trying to hear what God's saying. And every year there's been a different theme that it just seems like that's it. That's it. That's what we need to focus on this year. And the same thing happened again this year. And I was driving from our house into town one morning, listening to K-Love, which is kind of my normal thing that I do. And I'm just listening, and all of a sudden the song Reckless Love came on. And I'd heard the song 100 times, but I began to listen to the words of it as the love of God was described and all the things that love does and all the places that love finds us. And then it still comes through. It never fails. It God's love just keeps doing what it says it's going to do. And I knew it right then. I'm like, that's it. It's the love of God. That's what we're going to focus on this year, because God's love is what makes it possible for us to carry out the job that we feel like God's asked us to do over there. We couldn't do it without. We could go and just be charitable. We could go and be kind. But at the end of the day, it's only God's love that's going to be able to penetrate into that darkness. And so we decided to use that as our theme this year for our event. And so this morning, that's what I wanted to talk about here as we close, just a few verses and a few challenges about God's love. After we had already put everything in place and kind of chosen the theme, then I got involved in some conversations with people, and we began to really wrestle with this word reckless. And we're like, is that really an appropriate word to use when we're talking about the love of God. And it was great. It was like very thought-provoking conversations. And we wrestled with it, and we would go back and forth, and there would be ways we'd be like, yeah, I think, and then we'd be like, no, God's love is not reckless, because reckless is one of those words in the English language, and there's many of them, that has multiple meanings, or it, depending on the context, it can mean different things. And so I started worrying about it, and I'm like, I don't want to be controversial. That's not by nature. I don't like that. I don't want to be a controversial figure. And you know, pastor's away today, and he puts me up front. And I don't want to put this topic on the table that has controversy. But I just started praying about it, and I just felt like God said, let's just stay with it. And part of it was because the brochures had already been printed and the video had already been made. So just being honest with you, I'm like, it's a little late now. I can't really reverse this whole thing. So then I started saying, all right, God, if this is the theme you want us to have, which I felt confident of that. I felt confident that love was what we were to focus on. And it's too late to take the word reckless off the flyer. Then let's talk about that word reckless. And so here's what I feel. I feel like that if used the wrong way, I would never want to use the word reckless to describe the love of God, if it's used wrong. Because the love of God, reckless can mean careless, and the love of God is not careless. And the reckless can mean without purpose, and the love of God is definitely with purpose. It's not just slung out there and like, I hope it works out. But here's some things that I think do fit with reckless love. Reckless love is love without boundaries. God's love doesn't have boundaries, does it? It doesn't come up to a certain point and say, well, no, that's it. It ends there. No, God's love pushes through those boundaries to all of us in our deepest and darkest places. God's reckless love is love that does not have any regard for the cost. God's love, it said, I'll pay the ultimate cost and I'll give my son's life. That's a reckless love. It's a love without limits, like I just said. God's love isn't boxed in. It doesn't have walls that it can't get over or through. And then the last thing I thought of was it's love without reservation. God doesn't hold it back. God doesn't come up to us and evaluate us and say, yeah, now it's easy for me to love you. So I'm just without reservation, I'm going to give you my love. But then look at me and say, I don't know about him. That's going to be a tough one. No, God's love just flows. It just pours out. I thought about it this way. Last night I was thinking about how do I give a good illustration of what reckless love might look like? And this is what I thought of. I was sitting in the middle of our house and life was just happening all around us. And I'm sitting in the middle kind of trying to tune it all out. And all of a sudden God just gave me this illustration. And it would be this. My family, we travel a lot. And so I was thinking about what if we pulled into like a rest area or something to use the restroom, stretch our legs, whatever. What if I had gone in the restroom and I came out and was walking towards my car and then all of a sudden realized that someone was trying to harm Sarah and the kids? They were being robbed or someone was trying to harm them. What would my love as a dad and a husband do at that point? Would I have a reckless love? Absolutely. I wouldn't sit there and say, can I sing a love song for Sarah right now to show her how much I love her? I wouldn't say, hold on, I'm going to write a quick note to my kids to make sure that they know that I love them. Or I wouldn't say, hey, you need to know I love my kids. No, my love in that moment would be reckless. I would, with abandonment, I would just run to my family to show them that I love them. And it wouldn't matter who the opposition was, how big and strong they were, what weapons they had. All my love would push through all of that recklessly, seemingly, because I love them. And that's what I thought of about God's love. That is a great picture of God's love. And in that context, I think the word reckless works, because God saw us in our deepest and darkest places. And he said, it doesn't matter. My love is there in full measure. Here's some cool things that I think describe the love of God wonderfully. It's perfect, faithful, unconditional, forgiving, all-encompassing, pure, lasting, sacrificial, strong, enduring, refreshing, redeeming, everlasting, full, inspiring, hope-filled, gracious, and so much more. It's never based on us, our abilities, or striving to be good enough. It's found in Him, His character, and His huge capacity to give. It knows no boundaries and has no limits. There is no place too deep that it cannot reach. This is and always will be the love of God. That's awesome, isn't it? That's God's love. And I love that theme for this year because love, to do what we do where we are, requires that kind of love. It requires that kind of love to reach to where these kids have been and where they are and what they live in. I have experienced God's love in my finest moments and in my darkest moments. And we've all had both, haven't we? There's times and seasons of my life where it is only the love of God that reached me and got me through them. I've got five words that I looked up and I had about 20 of them, and I don't have time to share all of them. So I'm going to just share five of them. And there's not a little fancy acronym for them. I tried. I really did this morning. I got up there. I'm like, okay, I'm going to take these and I'm going to put them in the order and it's going to say something. And the best I could come up with is they all started with these letters and the acronym was SACLU. And I don't know what that is. So Jim Dickerson came up to me afterwards and said, I think that's a Swahili word. Just go with that. So I don't know. But here they are. I'm going to share these with you as I close. The first thing that God's love is it's sacrificial. That's the S. John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Sacrificial love is the ultimate love, and that's the ultimate love that God had. You can say you love somebody, you can try to show that you love somebody, but if you're willing to lay down your life or the life of your son, there is no greater love than that, and that is the love of God. The next thing is it's abounding love. Psalm 86:15, but you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. That's what I thought of when I saw that picture of all those kids getting their plates full, just abundance. God's love is the same. It's just, you just keep dipping in and it doesn't run out. Compelling. The love of God is compelling. 2 Corinthians 5:14, for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. God's love is compelling. I've seen that play out in my life over and over again. I've seen it with the kids in India the kids at BGCH who come to our home, and they've never heard of the love of God, and then they're exposed to it, and it just begins to draw them in. I've seen it here. A lot of you know that I've worked out at Arkansas Tech for a lot of years with the men's basketball team. I've seen God draw those guys to His love, not to me, not to my family, but God's love. A cool illustration of that is there's a guy that had been at Tech for 3 years. He was in his senior year, and he had heard many times me talk about my relationship with the Lord and share about my family and how Christ is the center. And he had been listening. I never knew how much he had been listening, but I knew he had been exposed to all of this stuff, and he had been exposed to God's love. And one night, about 12:30 at night, our doorbell rang, and he was standing at the door. He had come through the garage, and he was at the inside door, and he was standing there, and he had his Bible in his hands. And I opened the door, and he said, "Coach, I'm ready. You've got to teach me how to know the God that's in this Bible." And he had had this Bible, it had been given to him when he was a kid, and he had brought it to college with him. And it was the most awesome thing because it was God's love that had compelled him, it had drawn him in. And he came to know Christ in the weeks ahead. And I got a chance to perform his wedding last year, and the whole wedding was Christ-centered, and I got to talk about Christ. It was just awesome. So God's love is compelling. The next thing is God's love is limitless. Psalm 36:5, your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. It's limitless. If it reaches to the skies, that's definitely limitless, isn't it? You know, when you fly, you get up there in the clouds and it just feels like, man, where's the end? There isn't one. There's no sign that says dead end ahead or no outlet. It's limitless. That's the love of God. And the last one is unshakable. Isaiah 54:10, Though the mountains be shaken and the hills removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken. I've gotten to see this play out in the last 10 months. A lot of you know that I went through cancer, a tough battle with cancer, and now I've had to watch my sister go through it. And I'm not sure that that's not been harder, to be honest with you. It's really been tough to watch her struggle and suffer and go through this. But what I've loved about this and I've loved watching in my sister's life is I've seen this play out and I've seen God's love be unshakable. She's been through really, really dark, hard days, but God sustains her. He doesn't always take the suffering away. He doesn't always make the path easy. But I've seen him over and over again take care of my sister and prove that his love is unshakable. So those are some things that this morning, I guess, as I close, and Robert, you guys can come on up here. Here's what I'd like to do as we close. I know that there's people in this room this morning, including myself, who are deeply in need of a touch from God, with God's love. And we don't always want to act like that. When we come into church on a Sunday morning, we want everybody to have the best impression of us, that we have it all together, that we've just had a great week, and that we're just, man, our family, everything's great, and work is great, and you know, our marriages are great, and we just come in here and we just put on a mask, and I don't think that's ever what God was intended for the fellowship of his people to be. I've always felt like this was a place that we could come and be real and be honest about what real life is about. This should never be a place where we have to come in and fake it, but it lends itself to that, doesn't it? This the church setting. It just lends itself to that. And so this morning, I'm going to challenge you to sit there and think about where in your life do you need God's love? This love that we talked about this morning, this love that penetrates dark places like where BGCH is. Where do you need God's love this morning, that love that we talked about that doesn't have any limits and it doesn't have any boundaries and it's compelling? Where do you need that this morning? I want you to picture with me this morning that if there was a big cross standing up here and you had a chance to walk up and get in front of that cross and to stand in front of it or kneel in front of it or lay down in front of it, and God's love could come pouring off of that cross and meet you where you are, I want you to picture that today. And I know that I'm just like you. I sit out there on Sunday mornings and there's this thing we call an invitation, whatever that is. And then we sit there and we're like, oh, I'm not walking down there. I'm afraid everybody will be watching me and everybody. So we just sit there. But I'm going to challenge you this morning. If you're desperate for God's love, just take that walk that you won't regret and come down here and just get before God. There'll be some of us down front. We'll pray with you if you want. If you just need a human extension of God's love, someone to put their arm around you, Sarah and I will be down here. If we're down here and we're already praying with somebody and you see somebody else walk down here, just come down here and meet them and say, how can I pray for you? But please, please don't sit there in your seat this morning and say, oh man, you're right, Brad. I desperately need God's love, but I'm good. I'm going to see if he's got any left for me next week. I'll try again next week, see if he's got any for me then. No. How about today? Come down here. Maybe you don't even know Christ. Maybe you know that. Maybe you're sitting there saying, man, Brad, I don't know that love that you're talking about. I know about it, but I've never experienced it. So as we close this morning, I would encourage you and ask you to consider coming down here and just letting God's love meet you where you are and bring healing, encouragement, life, whatever it is that you may need this morning. I thank you for the chance to share.